Okay. I'm so glad y'all are here.
We had a larger panel, and they're all getting sick. So the flu is getting everywhere. But anyway, will you bow your heads and let's pray? Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here today. And thank you that you've given all of these moms a desire to follow you and your ways, Lord. We just want to walk the way that you've walked. And Lord, we just ask that you teach us through your word. May that be our mirror to show us the way, to show us exactly what you would have us do. And Lord, thanks also for people who have gone just a little bit ahead of us so that we can learn from them. Lord, I ask that all the advice, all the fun things that we share today can just be honoring to you. And I love you. We love you. And thanks for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, welcome. I'm Vicki Day, and these are part of our committee. And so I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves. And you probably know a lot of us, but so when we introduce ourselves, tell about your kids, how old, and then we're just going to run. We've got lots of questions. We will never hit all of them, but we'll get some of them today, and then we may do another Ask Us Anything another time. But anyway, I'm Vicki Day. I've been at Perimeter. I always have to think of my youngest daughters. I've been at Perimeter for 21 years. I have a 28-year-old son who's not married. I have a 26-year-old son who is married. He got married last year. And then a 23-year-old daughter.
Good morning. I'm Jennifer Yin. Been at Perimeter for about 5 years. I have two boys. My oldest is 6. He's in kindergarten at Simpson Elementary. And my youngest is turning 3 tomorrow. So we're having a little birthday party this weekend. It's exciting.
I'm Caitlin Goss. I've been at Perimeter for about 14 years. I have 3 boys. One is almost 5, one's 3, and one is 1.
I'm Carol Ann Peek, and I grew up at Perimeter, so I've been here since 1997. And I have one daughter. Her name is Anna Lynn, and she's 8 months old.
Well, y'all sent in questions, and so it's an Ask Us Anything. And we've got, I'm just going to tell you the categories that we kind of put them all in. Resources, quiet time devotional, devotionals for family, advice. Transition, and you'll get that a little bit, and then just some fun, helpful, simple tips. So we're going to start with resources because that's just a little bit easier. Best books you've read within the last year, fiction or nonfiction? Carol Ann.
I haven't read very many books. My first thought when I looked at the question was what was on my coffee table, which is the Magnolia Journal magazine. And the Farmhouse Table magazine. So magazines are nice and easy. And the only reason I got to read them was because we went on a trip. And my parents were on the same flight, so I didn't have to hold Annalyn. So I actually got to read. But then the books that I'm kind of working on, the TechWise family, which Jeff Norris recommended. And then my dad gave me Present Over Perfect and The Life-Giving Table for Christmas. So those are kind of ones I'm working on.
My discipleship group is reading The Hole in the Gospel by Richard Stearns, who's the current president of World Vision, and it's kind of heavy. It's about poverty and kind of our role as believers, and it's really shaken me to my core. I mean, I read parts of it and I'm just crying, but not a light read. I will tell you that one thing that it's caused me to do, just putting into action, I told you my little one's turning 3 this week, and so there's a section of the book that is about root causes of poverty, and one of them was about lack of water. And, you know, we have everything here more than we need, and I was thinking of these mothers who don't have water in their homes, and they walk 4 hours round trip, you know, to get water, and I was just crying. I don't know what was wrong with me. I was PMSing when I was reading it too, and I was emotional and thinking about my children. And so we decided to, I Googled, of course, because that's what you do, and found this wonderful charity that works with developing countries to build water sources for these people. And so we decided to do a big fundraiser for my child's birthday. So we're trying to raise $3,000 in honor of him turning three, and we're 80% to our goal. And it's just been really invigorating to me, and I haven't felt invigorated in years probably about anything. So I do recommend that book if, you know, you just want to learn more about that issue. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't planning on answering that, but I'm going to. A little bit later, it talks about, I don't know. I'll answer that later. But I'm just going to say I kind of do heavier reading in the morning, like Bible study, devotional, heavier reading like you're doing. And I will admit I need some mindless fluff reading. So that's what I do if I'm just relaxing or trying to go to bed, just to calm my mind, because it's not all about me. I'm sorry. So that's just a little preface. Okay, we're going to talk about quiet times. How do you make time for being in the Word? I feel like there is barely enough time to shower or eat, or let alone have some quality time.
I would say, hands down, you have to become a morning person. I mean, it's just, I don't know any parent that is like chipper at, you know, 5:30 in the morning, but for me, it literally won't happen unless I have a friend that wakes up at 5 when I'm like, absolutely not. But for me, it's 6 o'clock, and my boys, their little alarms go off at 7:20. So, and it's the first thing I go straight to my coffee machine and then go sit down, because if not, I'll say, oh, I have to do the dishes. Oh, I have to go do this before they wake up. So I have to go and do that right away. And it's amazing if you just give yourself, you know, I think they say it takes 21 days to form a habit. If you just are consistent with that, it has been such a treasure for me. So I would say morning.
Right now I'm using one of her nap times, because she naps in the morning and the afternoon. So I'm trying to use that morning nap time to ignore the dishes and do that. And then the other thing I've been working on is just leaving stuff out everywhere. Like, I have one thing on my kitchen table, a devotional in each of the bathrooms. Like, try and not take my phone in there. Like, at least I can read something. And then, like, my discipleship homework's in the coffee table. So that way, wherever I am, hopefully I can fix it again.
Okay. And then I know I've shared this before, maybe not in this group, but my mother-in-law, I had so much angst about that, because I had always had a great quiet time before I had kids, and they came, and you were exhausted. They were pulling on you. I was sleeping until they woke up, and I can remember my mother-in-law, who's a godly woman, that said, God knows exactly what's going on in your life right now. And she said, and it's exactly what Carol Ann's doing. She goes, just snack on it throughout the day. You know, don't get stuck in what you had before. It will come back, but just get what you can, you know? She would call it prayer snacking, but I think exactly what you're doing is the prayer snacking, or just putting it in areas that you can go, oh, okay, and just get that little bit of filling up.
The other thing I found is called the Bible in 1 Year app. It's Nikki Gumbel he's in England, but he reads, there's a reading, he doesn't read the scripture, but there's a scripture reading and he does a commentary on it. So I've been trying to listen to that during breakfast, and then while I'm cleaning up the breakfast dishes or whatever, I have a speaker in the kitchen, so I just put that on, and then at least I'm listening to it and it has some commentary, so that's kind of nice. And it kind of ties together the Old Testament, the Psalms, and the New Testament. He finds some common theme through all of this, so that's a nice addition.
Did y'all know that the Perimeter app has that, the audio Bible? It's awesome. A friend just told me about it. So if you go on the Perimeter app, I think it's in the middle. It says read or Bible. And they have it divided by days. And it's so you can read the Bible in 1 year, or you can listen to the Bible in 1 year. That's more my jam right now. But it goes all the way. So it'll have like Genesis, Psalm, and it's all clustered together. You don't have to go and nitpick everything together, which is really great. And I would say on average, most of the days are 13 minutes. Which is great. That was a really great resource that I don't feel like has been super marketed.
Is it the Perimeter 2 year, like kind of what Randy does, the Perimeter?
I think it's 1 year.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, good. Let us know. Let us know. And hey, y'all, this is interactive. So if you've got something that you think is great that would be helpful, raise your hand and you get to talk to. We're going to move on to family devotionals. Anybody tried that? Does it look like you even thought it would? Caitlin's got some ideas.
Okay, well, I'm definitely in, like, the trenches with you guys right now, so this is not, you know, anyways, there's a lot of hit or miss with things, but I just have a lot of really great friends that are maybe, like, a year or two ahead of me, and which I think is a great thing, too. If you have anyone that's, like, one step ahead of you, I'm always like, what should my kids be doing? What should we be doing? So that being said, for us in the morning, it's not every morning. And right now we have, the only thing we have is preschool at 9:20. So in our phase right now, it's working really well. We'll have to adapt whenever we go to elementary school. But one of the things that we do with the boys is this. I know Susan Hunt spoke one time here. Was it Susan that spoke? Yeah. Yeah, she spoke. This is, I think you can get this in the store. I actually got this at Goodwill, and it's A to Z Bible verses, and there's little devotions. So the boys will pick a letter, and then we'll flip to it, and we'll read that devotion that day. That's a good, quick little one. We're not like a family that sits there, and I'm not trying to knock anyone that does. Like, my husband's not, like, playing the guitar. We're not sitting there, you know. That's not our thing, you know, but sorry, does your husband do that? I'm sorry. Okay. Not knocking that at all. But just consistent truth. Another one. And then we'll read, so it's more of like an everyday morning thing, but it's 3 minutes. It's 4 minutes. It's not this long thing, but it's everyday truths. And then this is another one that I got that my almost 5-year-old's really into kind of sciencey things. Louis Giglio did this one. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, Indescribable. It ties in really interesting scientific facts about the world, about our body, and ties it back to God. So he's really enjoyed learning about that. I think for us, that's been the benefit. It's not something, and when we do those things, we do it in the morning. I thankfully have a husband that his job allows him to be at home for breakfast. You could do it at night. But it's in those constant informal conversations where we'll read that, the A to Z Bible verse devotion, and we'll talk about it. Just super informal, and we'll touch back on that in the car or throughout the day.
I love that. You said no. Okay. Okay, old mom will talk a little bit. It never looked like, you know, what was on TV, but what Caitlin's got is great. To have a variety of things that interest the kids. We had a book called Sticky Situations as they got older. And so we'd read a sticky situation, you know, something that was a moral dilemma, or the resurrection eggs were a huge hit. Have y'all heard about those? So we just kind of would find, I had a lot of things, and we would do it at dinner. And a lot of time, I don't want to do that, or I don't want her to read it. But, you know, we did it, and it was, and sometimes it was fun, and sometimes it was like pulling teeth. But another thing that you will start to see is you're going to be in your car all the time with the kids, taking them back and forth. So I had little things in the car, like that A to Z or whatever, that I could pull out. We had Bible trivia, or we had, so just having those little moments. And sometimes it goes really well, and sometimes it just doesn't. But just trying to keep on doing it. Sounds good. Okay. Transition. Nap time to quiet time transition. What are your tips on activities, timing, et cetera?
I would say that all children are a little bit different in terms of sleep. You hope and pray that you get a good sleeper. You might hit the jackpot, you might not. My oldest loved sleep, so he actually napped consistently, pretty consistently until he was five and a half. I mean, it was really the summer before kindergarten when I was like, dude, you got to cut out this nap because you're going to kindergarten. There's no nap time in kindergarten. So I was super blessed. That was very easy. When he was kind of in that transition of dropping it, I would still send him to his room because I had a younger one who was napping. And so I would put the older one in his room the same time I would put his little brother down for his nap. So mama had a rest. And I told him, you just have to stay in your bed. You can grab some books. You can, you know, I would even let him put some Legos on there. But I want you to be on your bed. You know, the lights are down. If you're tired, you lay down and you sleep. But you're not coming out until I tell you it's time. And in the beginning, it would be a longer period of time. And I noticed after a while, he just was never falling asleep. So at that point, then I would just maybe keep him up there for 20 minutes because, you know, his attention span, he starts to, like, literally I would see him doing gymnastics on his bed, you know, like flipping. So at that point, I was like, all right, you've been in there for 20 minutes. You can come out and we'll do something, just mommy and you time, which I think he really valued because always little brother was around. My younger one is still taking that one afternoon nap. I have a feeling he's going to drop it earlier because he's my child who's never been a great sleeper. It took him longer to sleep through the night. Same genes. I did everything the same. he wakes up earlier. He's just, his sleep tank just is different. So my guess is I'm going to have to play it a little bit differently. And that's one thing I've learned, I think, having a second child. I'm sure Caitlin knows this too. It's you have to adjust, and you can't always fit every child in the same mold and be frustrated that they're not identical and that what worked for one child doesn't work for the second one. So we'll just kind of see how that happens. When they're babies, I always feel like most of you are probably stay-at-home moms. I always felt like if your child's in daycare, they push them to drop to one nap earlier than they need to be pushed. They always do it right around one. I feel like most kids really need those two naps until they're one and a half, you know, around there. But there are a lot of great sleep resources that, you know, can give you tips on looking for cues and things like that. But I do recommend putting them in their room, you know, if you can, because you need that time. And they need to learn how to entertain themselves by themselves, even if it's just for 30 minutes, if they can.
I was going to say, on the same, I agree. And we, my oldest, Daniel, he just dropped that nap. He's almost 5'2", and it was kind of like a death a little bit, you know, because you're like, oh, man, it's been a really great ride. But there's obviously a lot of opinions, and I really, this is out of my element because I always like to kind of, what is that, unsolicited advice is criticism. I feel super uncomfortable telling you guys, like, what works, whatever. But I would say fight for the nap time. Like, do it. Unless you're the bucket list family, like, you're going to be home every day. But do you guys know the bucket list family? No, you're looking at me with doe eyes. Oh, wow. They're on Instagram. It's this okay, I'm going off on a tangent now. It's a bucket list family. They travel all around the world with their two kids. They get paid to do it. Anyways, and she's pregnant. But fight for that because it really does. I feel like it teaches so many things. It teaches them, you know, that the day, that your day does not revolve around entertaining them. It teaches them self-control. It makes them happier. So I'm all about, and I will go back to the nap transition, but I'm all about the blackout curtains and the sound machine, you know, like that, those are really great things, you know? And so just fight for that time. But that being said, my oldest has dropped. He no longer needs to actually sleep, but the other two still sleep. So former teacher, all about the resources. Have you guys ever heard of the time to wake clock? Okay. It's like $30. It's ridiculously expensive, but this is the boys' one. They have a girl one with a flower on it. But in the morning, you can set your time to wake. And so for us, it's 7:20. And at 7:20, this little thing turns green. Imagine it being green right there. So they can press the button, and then they come downstairs. So that's cool for the morning. But at nap time, this is what we've been just doing with Daniel, is it has a nap time feature, too, where you can set a timer. So for him right now, we set the nap time for an hour. And then it does a soft little beep so it doesn't wake up other kids. And then he can come down and do Legos. And, yeah. So while he still gets the hour, I go sleep because I need sleep. And then he comes down and we'll do a quiet activity. Another good transition when I love the Legos. That's big. But check your local library and see. A lot of libraries have They have a partnership with digital libraries where you can get free audiobooks. So they, a lot of times, I mean, the boys are wild, but if they're listening to an audiobook, they can sit still and be, and it's all free. So I would say check that out too. I think that's probably.
I would say too, for those of you babies, you might feel like your child is dropping a nap, but they're really just going through a phase. So don't be too eager. Like, you're like, oh, they didn't nap for 3 days in a row. They must be ready to drop it. I would say keep at it. They're probably not ready to drop it yet, especially if, you know, you're looking at resources and most kids are napping longer. Keep being consistent about putting them down, and then give it a week or two, and then I bet they'll go back. Because I see a lot of people dropping naps, you know, dropping all naps, and their kids are like, 2.5. And that happened with my son. He was 2, and he was just going through that, I want my way, I want to play. And I was pulling out my hair thinking he was going to drop it. But lo and behold, he went back, you know, and I'm so glad I kept doing it.
Good. We'll go to advice. What was the hardest stage of parenting for each of you? And why? So do you want me to go first?
Yes.
I'll be very, very honest. I loved, it got better every single day. I loved being a newborn mom, but it got better when they got older and toddled. So I honestly say it got better every day. It was hard physically as a young mom running around. Don't y'all agree with that? I mean, it's exhausting. You're constantly, so it wasn't perfect every day, but so when they were younger, it was a whole lot harder physically and demanding on me. As they get older, it gets better and better, but it gets hard emotionally because you're dealing with a lot of hard emotional problems. Just because they get to be teenagers and the girls get their feelings hurt, and it's just like that. But every stage I loved. So I guess the problems get bigger as they get older because they're getting bigger and their problems get more serious. But I loved every stage, and I'm in, it gets better and better. I'm in a stage that I love now. So just it gives you hope that it gets better and better and better and better.
I was just going to say, I think it keeps getting harder with me. I know. I'm like, oh, we're done. I thought, I mean, just being truthful, I thought going from 0 to 1 was hard because you give up your time. Then going from 1 to 2, it's like zone, you know, you're having to entertain 2. And then going from 2 to 3, you're just like, I don't know. I mean, it's just zone defense, you know, you're constantly. But it does get, it gets easier when they're older and they can walk and things like that.
When you're
but,
like hearing them
constantly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I got rid of the fact that
was a good day. Yeah, yeah. One less one out of diapers, one more one potty trained. That's not really encouraging to tell you.
Gail or anybody else?
Somebody we had speak in the last few years said, meet emotion with emotion. What was it? Emotion with emotion and back with fat. That's so true. That's exactly what your daughter, I just need a hug. Let's drop down to another advice. Any advice, wisdom? Okay, Dara was on this. So y'all just talk about this if you want to. Any advice, wisdom, truth on postpartum body image? Y'all are not going to talk about that. Advice or issue, I mean, or advice or wisdom on postpartum body image? That's great. Okay, next question is, what is your go-to advice for new moms?
There's a lot I could say, but one thing that just was on my brain today when I was talking to Jer, my husband, I would say, I even asked him, I was like, what advice would you give? And he said, well, I wouldn't be giving this to girls. I'd give it to their dad. So, so just talking about this, don't rob your husband of his natural gifting as a father. I am very OCD. I like things done a certain way. And especially with my first, when he was younger, I was going back to teaching, so I was working so hard on getting him on a schedule that I had truly taught myself that I was the only person that could do everything the right way, you know? And just through a lot of conflict and conversations and things like that, I realized how I was stripping his giftings and what he, what wisdom he could provide. I think you also, you lose out on a partnership, on the ability to really make yourself a strong team. And also it could, that could lead you to isolation if you're going constantly down the road, and it could lead to bitterness. You know, why aren't you helping? Why aren't you doing this? You know, it's, if we don't let them, they're not, they're going to say, okay, you just do it, you know? And so being okay with, you know, he does certain things differently with the boys, and I'm okay with that. And in fact, I think the boys love that. You know, there's certain ways that he does things. And I would encourage you, if you maybe have a husband who is not assertive, finding ways to encourage him and build him up as a husband. Say, I really like how you read them a story. I really like, and that might push them to do things more. For me, I have, we're both very strong-willed, so we have to we have to kind of talk through those things. But and so that being said, on his flip side, he was saying, because he is like our good pusher for the boys, you know, I would coddle them and like keep them in saran wrap, but he's always been good about like, okay, they need to start walking now, or they need to drop the, you know, the side on their crib, and me being okay with that and trusting his wisdom as a father has helped me really. I'm thankful that I had people like my family and him that were able to call me out on that very early on, because he is so hands-on now, and I have to let a lot of those things go. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Mine was more practical. I had to write everything down because I can't remember anything in here. That's my advice. Write everything down. By that, I went back to a paper planner because I was like, I can't keep track of things on my phone. But if you're breastfeeding, find the Haka pump. It's this little silicone, like, bulb and flange thing that, like, it's just a little bit of suction. But I thought that was perfect. I found it a couple months in, and it would have been great at the very beginning when you're, like, so engorged, but you don't really want to pump everything off. But, and it's just great for, and it catches what's leaking. Like, it would catch more than just what would leak, but anyway. And then, regardless, just relax and enjoy all the snuggles you can, because the dishes and the chores and the laundry aren't going anywhere, and your husband can help with those when he gets home. And but the baby gets bigger, and before you know it, they have to take all their naps in the crib instead of on the couch with you. So
I loved what you said, Caitlin, because I need to work on that. I'm a control freak too, so thank you for those words. I would say probably two things. One is whatever phase you're in, whatever really difficult about it, just remember this too shall pass. I feel like I said that to myself a lot when things are really hard. The hardest part for me was having a new baby, and then my toddler was three at the time, and neither my three-year-old, who was once the great sleeper, started regressing, I think, because of the baby. And so he started popping out of his room multiple times, and then I was getting up every couple hours to nurse, so I was not sleeping. I mean, it was, and I let my husband sleep, and I was just bouncing back and forth, and I was an awful, terrible person. And I thought, this is miserable. Why did I have a second child and do this to myself? But we got through it. It was a really bumpy couple of months, but it got better. So whatever is hard, my youngest now, he truly did. It was classical terrible twos. Like the week before he turned two, he started having tantrums. And I was like, going on? He's always been my easy, you know, happy baby. For a year, guys, a year. it has been rough. And he's almost three now, and I've just noticed in the last month, I'm like, oh, we're only having one tantrum every other day. Like, it used to be two a day. And it's like slowly getting better, and I'm like, we might be coming out of this. And he's responding more to kind of incentives, whereas before he was just too emotional and incentives wouldn't even work. But now, like, we just started a little chart, you know, and he's understanding that. I'm like, it's getting easier. So whatever phase you're in, you know, it gets better. My second piece of advice, I think, for new moms is surround yourself with a tribe of mom friends. So important. Your husband is a great resource, but he's still a dude, and he just won't understand you on a certain level, you know, and he can't. He has other responsibilities, too, so you really need, whether it's a sister, a neighbor, friend, mom's groups, they can really be a great lifeline, and you won't feel so alone and isolated, and they'll become some of your best friends.
Stuff. Great stuff. Okay, we're going to lighten it up just a little bit for a few minutes. What time is it? Okay, good. We're good. Favorite quick dinner recipe?
So it's funny. we could go around there. I have one tomato tortellini soup, and I was looking through an old recipe book, and I was like, oh, I used to make this from scratch, which I don't do anymore because I found Costco has tubs of tomato, like, bisque soup, and they have boxes of them, like the Imagine brand at, like, Sprouts or, like, anywhere. There's just whatever tomato soup base. You can just use Campbell's. That's fine, too. That's part of the, like, the recipe is the Campbell's soup. But anyway, so I just used the pre-made tomato soup, pre-made tortellini, make the tortellini, put it in the soup. It's really hard. And my husband loves it, and he doesn't like vegetables, so I just have to not have chunks of tomatoes in the soup.
It's a pressure cooker, but it's also a slow cooker, and then it does, like, all these things. So I just got it for Christmas, and I'm a huge nerd, and it's, like, all over the internet, but it really is amazing. So it does take a little bit of time in that you have to build up the pressure and release the pressure, but it cooks things faster. So, like, you can do roasts and, like, shredded chicken in, like, 40 minutes and, like, things like that. It doesn't cook everything in the world, but for the things that it does an amazing job. And it has, like, I think some of them do a timer where you can, like, set it overnight and it can hard-boiled eggs. So you can do that, or, like, steel cut oats and set it at nighttime. And then it'll start at, like, 6:30 in the morning. And by the time you're up at 7, your breakfast is ready and hot. Anyways, it's, like, I can just dump everything in there, and I put the lid on, and I press the button, and an hour later or less, my dinner's ready. And it has been a lifesaver for dinner time. Anyway, infomercial.
I don't so much have specific recipes, but something that has totally revolutionized our week. And it takes time, takes a little time on Sundays, but my husband grills literally like 9 to 12 chicken breasts on like a Sunday afternoon, and we eat that the entire week. And you can mix and match. You can play that up any way you want. So that's been super, super helpful. Again, it takes a little bit of prep on Sunday. The other thing, I don't know how people feel about reheated, like, vegetables and stuff, but sweet potatoes are a huge staple in our house. And so I will probably do 2 huge sheet pans of sweet potatoes, and we'll reheat those for a couple days. I think keeping it simple. I think sometimes we put pressure on ourselves, like, we have to have these huge, you know, complicated meals, and that's not the case. The other thing that's super easy, if you like salad, buy spinach, buy some strawberries, buy some goat cheese. Put that together a couple nights a week. Super easy. So that's sort of something we've been doing lately.
It's not like cooking recipe, but it's like every Friday, Earth Fair has like 6-box like bacon pizza deal with 2 toppings. So on the way home, my husband always picks that, and you add some like toppings, whatever you want to, and it's very easy. So, yeah.
I will say too, I mean, my kids are grown, but when they were little, if a recipe had more than 5 ingredients, I turned the page. So, you know, set yourself a limit and just keep turning the page till you find an easy one.
I've discovered something called e-meals, and it's like $3 a month or a week. It's like ridiculously cheap and worth it for our family, but it sends you every week a list of recipes, so you can pick what kind of meal plan, like if you want classic, or you can use coupons at local stores. They'll create a menu based on the coupons at that store that week or the sales. We tried to do the clean eating one right now, or there's 30 minutes. So there's all these different options depending on what fits your family. So we do the 30-minute option because I don't have more time than that. And then there's 7 meals, so I just meal plan each week, and I pick from those 7. We never eat 7 full meals at home, so we pick those and make it in 30 minutes, and it gives you the it already makes your shopping list for you, divided up by category and where it is in the grocery store, and then it tells you the recipe on how to cook it. And so that's kind of how I learned to cook also, but it's super easy, and you can pick what meals you want, and it saved us a lot of time. E-Meals.
Sounds like a big win.
I don't know if anybody has an air fryer, but that has saved our lives. Air fryer. You have to get the Philips one because it has a little star at the bottom, and the heat just gets all around your food. But talk about a sweet potato, leaving for 20, 30 minutes, walk away. It comes out outside, it's so crispy, inside soft and delicious. And any old food, you got old pizza, old french fries, whatever you have from leftovers, throw it in there. It will come like it tastes like it's straight from the kitchen, from the restaurant. I was like, wow, I can make this food alive again. It's easy. You have so much leftovers. And on the recipe thing, I always go to Pinterest. Air fryer, the Philips air fryer. Philips is the best one that we've tried, and it's awesome. Yeah. And you don't even need oil. You just throw it in there. And it's crispy when it comes out. Mm-hmm. Whatever you make. And you can bake whatever you want, it'll do it. And so I think Pinterest has, I'm sure a lot of people have heard Pinterest. They have all kinds of recipes. You just look it up. Whatever recipe you were looking for that night, put it in there. And it'll come up with tons and tons of different recipes. Make new broccoli, whatever you want. Chicken. So when I want to make some dish, okay, I want hot and sour soup. Let me type it in. Here's all the ingredients. Let me go buy it. Come home, it tells you how to do it.
It's just a breakfast idea. My kids are big breakfast eaters. I just get like a big, huge Tupperware, and I put a cup of plain Greek yogurt, a cup of oats, a cup of like almond milk or coconut milk, or you can use regular milk, and then a cup of frozen fruit, and you can add chia seeds or whatever you want to do, and then just stir it together, put it in the fridge, and it's ready the next day. I just love it. Sorry, this is just really, really easy, but it's like absolutely my favorite thing. So I'll just put the oven on 400, like line up here with tin foil, and I'll put down like a little bit of olive oil, balsamic, and lemon, and I'll put like salmon and asparagus on the same pan, and you just bake it for like 12 to 14 minutes, and it's ready. And it's like a nice, healthy dinner, and it's really quick. So I like doing that. And it's the same with the sweet potatoes. Like, always have boiled sweet potatoes, like purple, orange, all those. It's like, seems a little different, but yeah.
It isn't always possible, but I think when you can, make double. If you're having spaghetti, make double. It doesn't take any longer to make twice. Put it in a Ziploc bag in the freezer. You pull it out, dinner's done. If you're putting chicken on the grill, even when we just do it for the two of us, I'll put out half a dozen extras and stick them in the freezer, cut them up for fajitas or anything. It makes a quick avo toast. I mean, in no time, you have dinner made. It helps to make double.
My other one is, I've done this twice now with two different sets of friends, is to get some friends, pick like six meals, and make freezer meals. Like send one. Like I went to Costco, bought all the meats. Someone else went to Whole Foods, she went to the Buford Farmers Market and got all the produce. We ended up with 11 meals each for $99 total for like us bags of meals in our freezer, so. It's nice and cost-effective. It does take, like, a whole day to, like, do all the prep and everything, so you do have to do that. But we just had our husbands make the drinks and watch the babies, and we did all the food prep. It was great. It was so fun to hang out. So,
okay, we'll do one more fun one, lighter. So what's something you've purchased that was totally worth a splurge?
After I had my first baby, I decided I didn't want to clean bathrooms anymore. And so we hired a cleaner. And so I felt guilty. I still do a little bit because I was like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. This is part of my, you know, job. But I only use her once a month, so it's not like weekly. And she just, she kind of does the whole house, but I'm like focused on the bathrooms, do the deep clean of the bathrooms. And she's really cheap. I'll give you her contact later. Guys, if you come to, my sister and I are doing a self-care thing in a couple months. We're going to give away a free cleaning by her. I already got her permission, so come. But she's like half the price of most other places I priced her. So I do that once a month, and I look forward to it. So it's a little bit of a splurge. I felt a little guilty, but it's great. And the other thing is we do splurge a little bit on vacations. And so, you know, it's all about your family budget. But for us, it's just something that we really look forward to as a family. My husband's the type, he loves adventure and play, so he works, and then he really looks forward to that too. So I feel like, you know, you're putting in the memories. You know, we would rather spend our money on that than cute clothes or, you know, eating out all the time or whatever.
I was just going to say, copy and paste what you said too. I think those are really great ones.
Yes, cleaning is the best. But our splurge would be our living room furniture. We found literally the largest sectional that fit in our living room, and it's amazing. You could fit 12 adult butts next to each other on this giant sofa, and you could sleep like three people all laying down if you wanted to. And we finally replaced Stephen's college recliner that was terrible with a Lazy Boy, and we were like, we looked and looked and looked at all the deals and everything. We're like, you know what, name brand is just going to be worth it for this. We sit in it all the time, we look at it all the time, and so it was definitely a baby splurge, and I ended up with a hand-me-down in the nursery, but I was like, it's worth it. I have the nice one in the living room that everybody else sees. So.
Anyone else? Sounds like an air fryer.
Yeah, seriously. Instapot.
This isn't like a huge splurge, but I feel like when I was up a lot at night, I liked being in cute and comfy pajamas. And so I felt like that was almost more of what my husband saw me in also, because he worked long days. So really, like, I don't know. I felt like I slept better when I was in a matching set. So, really soft pajamas that you feel good in.
So worth the splurge is a foot massage. If you go to Treat Your Feet in Doraville, it's like $40, maybe $50 for an hour-long foot massage, and it will change your life. I got one. Yeah, it's worth every single penny. And they'll do like a back massage too and a head massage, like, I went probably when our daughter was like 2 months old by myself, and it was a dream come true. So do it.
I think you were so right. We all have different budgets, and we all have different things that we value. And so finding that out the sooner you can will probably benefit you in the long run, and just know that that's where you're going to put your money. And what I was going to say kind of ties into postpartum body image a little bit, but I love to work out. I love to be active. And so it is a financial commitment, but I go to a CrossFit gym, and it's not cheap, but I'm paying for the membership. It makes me feel good. I have childcare there. I get to get out. And so that's something my husband and I both do. But, yeah, for other people, maybe you can't do that, but maybe it's whatever, fill in the blank. But commit to it, and then – know that that's not like a wasted thing, and it's not necessarily a splurge if that's important to you. So even kind of maybe rethinking how you think about it.
We're going to go to resources again a little bit at the top. Caitlin, you can do both of them at the same time if you want. What resources do you use for teaching little ones biblical truths, and what resources do you love for talking through the gospel with your kids? Two quick things that popped to mind for me. For those of you, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so this is like kind of new for me in parenting. Have you guys ever heard of Salty? Yeah. Amazing, you guys. Okay, it's worth it. Okay, so two of the albums are on my Amazon Prime. It's like 90s fabulous, but it's this, it's the singing Salty, P-S-A-L-T-Y. You can buy them on iTunes. I know there's 5 albums. It's awesome, guys. So there's a scene, and then there's a song, and then a scene, and then a song. Super catchy songs. It is worth your money. It's worth a $9.99 for whatever it is. So those are really great. And they're just really, they're super applicable. How do you say that? we're constantly referencing, because those songs are so catchy, we're constantly referencing them and talking about them. So I would really recommend those. This is my other go-to thing that, if you go on Pinterest and search Fruit of the Spirit necklace, you'll get these cute, they're like little circles. It's free. It's a free printable. But they're Fruit of the Spirit, and this is our behavior system in our house. So, again, former teacher laminating obsession. So I laminated it, but on our refrigerator, we have Fruits of the Spirit, and so this is like our behavior modification system at our house. So not only has it been, the reason why it's been so beneficial is because it has truly taught them the fruit of the Spirit, like really praising them for when they chose to have self-control, when they chose to be gentle with a friend or whatever it is. And so it's not just, that was really good. It was, you showed patience when, I know that was hard for you, and you showed patience, so you get a fruit in your basket. When they fill up their basket, they get to take all the fruits down and they get to pick a treat from our treat box. So it's like Smarties or Dum Dum. It's not anything, you know, they're not getting like a iPhone or something. But I will say my 5-year-old, like, I've had to up the ante. He's into the Ring Pops now. So I'm like, oh, man. So anyways, I think, just obeying something, you know, following through with something. When they're going above and beyond, there are certain things that they're expected to do. But, and then also on the flip side of that, when they show impatience or when they show anger, they take one of the fruits off their basket. And so with boys, it's all about competition. Like, Daniel does not want Andrew to have more fruits on his basket and vice versa. You know, like, they're kind, it's I don't know if it's unhealthy or not, but whatever. Yeah, it's not. It's not. And I would... Yeah. No, no. I made this one. No, I am not a Pinteresty person. This is, I just like to color it. But and it really is not. It's not a behavior. I mean, it's another thing too. Going through, like, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not on your own that you can show this self-control. This is not good. You know, it is not in our nature to do this, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. And there's, so it's not about teaching them self-righteousness. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit putting on that, you know, teaching them as children of the covenant, that they have that the power of God in them. But so that is a fun little hack. So Salty, if you, like I said, go to Pinterest. She's got some cute girls. She does, well, cute girl. I meant cute resources. it's Fruit of the Spirit necklace. I don't do the necklace, but I use these cute little cutouts to color.
You're such a teacher.
I love this. I was not that organized.
Carolyn, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. Jennifer? Music is huge. I mean, again, you're going to be in your cars constantly. And I love Adventures in Odyssey. I mean, my kid, those are some of the best memories for them. So, yeah.
I gotta be honest, I don't love Jesus' Storybook Bible. I love the idea of it. I know that's like blasphemous to say. I love the idea of it. And when they're older, there's nothing, for preschool age, they're too young. The idea of teaching them to see Jesus all throughout Scripture is amazing. And I think for older kids, mine don't have the attention to sit through a Jesus Storybook lesson. So for us, as far as teaching them the actual stories of the Bible, I have the beginner's Bible, like the cute, you know, everyone has really big eyes and everything. And they love that, and it resonates with them just as much. Yeah, I would wait. What do you feel like with Maddie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen the
before, but my son loves to read, and I just, like, put his books out as part of his, those are part of his toys, and we have a board book Bible, because the Jesus Storybook Bible, I'm like, I don't want you to tear it or rip it. So, but this one, he, like, looks through the pictures, and they're bright and colorful and really short, and it may not be the most biblically accurate. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. It gets the point across. But he's looking at it constantly, and he can't mess it up. So it has a little handle on it, and it's super cute.
It's another board book. It's called The Greatest Story, ABC. And it also goes through scriptures, ABC, and we read that. And my son is 17 months old, and he loves it. So, and it's really short.
I mean, you're going to find something that your child loves and kind of I remember my oldest gravitated to this Noah book, and that's all he wanted to look at. But you'll figure it out with your kids. I mean, there's not one right way. I mean, I think that's where you've got to learn with being a mom. Give yourself a whole lot of grace. I think y'all's generation more than our generation, there's just a lot more pressure with social media and Pinterest and all that. It's, this is the right way, or this is great. You know, God's going to equip you with what you need. He really will.
I'm just trying to rack my brain. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and so it's all kind of navigating new waters. And one thing I try to do with both of my kids, I just started with my younger one, is, you know, when we pray at night, to make it a little bit deeper in a way. And so I heard this from someone. It's you've heard of the ACTS model of praying, but bringing it down to a child's level. So the adoration part, we always say, when we start, "Dear God, wow." Going. So you say, "Wow, God, you are so," and then they fill in the blank with an adjective, you know, great, loving, whatever. You have to model it a few times, and then they'll start catching on. And then, so the C is confession. So the next part, we always go, "Today, I'm sorry for," and then fill in the blank. And sometimes I need prodding. So my youngest one is, "Today, I'm sorry I had a tantrum. You know, I cried on the floor." It's almost every day that's the one. And then my older one, for the longest time, he'd be like, "I can't think of anything." And I was like, "I've got one for you." And then I would tell him. And then we'd actually sometimes talk about it a little bit. Right there in the middle of the prayer, we would be like, "Yeah, you shouldn't have hit your brother," or whatever. And then the T for Thanksgiving, "Thank you for," fill in the blank. It might be superficial, but that's okay. My oldest would always say, "Thank you for my stuffed animals." And then S, supplication, we just say, "Please," and then they fill in the blank. So it's a little fill in the blank prayer, but we do it every night. So there's a pattern to it. Kids like pattern. They remember it. And I think it's a neat way to just teach the whole way to pray. So it's not just like, give me this, please this, you know.
Those are all great.
And I would be like, "You were praying the whole way to church." But every morning she would pray. And I think listening to her, and it wasn't kid, like, sometimes I've noticed when I pray at night, it might be kind of kid-wise. She prayed, like, for my dad. She'd start praying for maybe things going on. And as a kid, hearing her pray a real prayer, I think probably had the most impact, aside from seeing her read her Bible in the morning. But I kind of tags on to that. Praying in the car. They're a trapped audience too. Oh,
I asked my kids, who are 23, 26, and 28. I mean, we've asked, you know, when did you? They prayed to receive Christ at a young age, and they grew up here. But I asked them, when do you really believe, because now they're older, that you really started following the Lord? I mean, I would have said that they did, they were doing the right things and going, hanging with the right people and all that, but every one of them, all three of them, said, "Not till I got out of your home." And my dad, I can remember very early on, said, and I was not raised in a Christian home, they're Christians now, "You know, your kids, you know, they're doing all this stuff, but they'll never really, you know, it's not just, you're forcing it on them," or whatever. That's how my dad always spurred me on. Like, "You just watch." But anyway, they said it was not until we were on our own and we were making mistakes and we had to really turn to the Lord on our own. Like when it became, he became everything we needed. So just remember that. And I said, what did we do? Because I knew this was coming up. What did we do as parents to help you? Like it wasn't the devotions at night or what we were doing. And they said, it was none of that. It was watching you live your lives. Watching you, just what you just said. Watching you read your Bibles by yourselves in the morning. How you talk to us. How you handle things. But it was not anything that was programmed that you did. It was just watching you live your life. So I would think, I would just encourage you more than anything, live your life and grow in your relationship with the Lord. The kids will catch that. They will. Okay. One thing you would tell your younger mom self. Well, that would be, if I could tell myself that, that would be really good. And then another thing, and then I'm going to pass the microphone away from me. I can remember when my kids were graduating from high school, I would just get so teary, and I couldn't believe that that was happening. And even as a young mom, everybody would say as they start walking, they're walking away from you, and that would make me cry. But what I would tell my younger self is I wish I in a perfect world that I could go back to each stage and have a day, because I was so busy mothering or so busy thinking of the next thing that I didn't savor the moment. So savor the moments, because you're going to get a whole lot of sweet, sweet moments. I mean, it's really hard, but just try to savor, you know, just tell yourself, savor this moment. You know, when you're in a good moment, savor this moment, because it goes by so fast.
I don't want to follow after that. It was really good.
Well, I was just, if you've heard the, like, dust be quiet, cobwebs go to sleep, have you heard that poem? It's actually a lot longer than I thought it was. Babies don't keep is the poem, and that goes with what I was going to say, too. Mother, oh mother, come shake out your cloth, empty the dustpan, poison the moth, hang out the washing, make up the bed, sew on a button, and butter the bread. Where is the mother whose house is so shocking, because those things haven't been done? She's up in the nursery, blissfully rocking. Oh, I've grown as shiftless as little boy blue, lullaby, rockabye, lullaby, loo. Dishes are waiting, bills are past due, pat a cake, darling, and peek, peekaboo. The shopping's not done, and there's nothing for stew, and out in the yard there's a hullabaloo, but I'm playing Kanga, and this is my room. I make myself cry, too. Look, aren't his eyes the most wonderful hue? Lullaby, lullaby, rockabye, loo. The cleaning and scrubbing can wait till tomorrow, but children grow up, as I've learned to my sorrow. So quiet down, cobwebs, dust go to sleep. I'm rocking my baby, and babies don't keep. And mine's only 8 months old. but that's what I was just saying. I think back, she was born in May. We spent the whole summer sitting on the couch. Like, and I don't regret that at all. And so just enjoy those days while you can. And laundry and dishes and scrubbing, taking your own shower. They'll come and you can do those later, but you won't regret those snuggly days.
I agree with all of that. I would say I'm a worrier, so I think I would tell my younger mom self and present self to not worry so much, whether you're worrying about the sleep schedule or the picky eating, or last summer I was worrying about my oldest transitioning to kindergarten. I was like, he doesn't know any of his sight words, and he's not holding his pencil right, and I was like calling an OT, and I was like stressing out and worrying he was going to be behind or kids would make fun of him. And I look back just to a few months ago, guys, this isn't my, and I'm like, wow, I wasted a lot of energy for nothing, because he's doing fine. And even if he wasn't, it'd be okay. So to maybe bring up the lens of what you're looking at and looking at the big picture and not get too sucked into that one particular stressor in the moment, because that can rob you of, you know, your joy of being in the present with that child. And one thing my mom told me, I remember I was really sad about him leaving for kindergarten. And she goes, mothering, from the moment they come out of you and they cut the umbilical cord, it's constantly a letting go of that rope that they're with you, you know, your whole life. And, I mean, I still call my mom this morning. I was chatting with her. So there's still a little line there. But you're just releasing a little bit. And I thought that was really, like, good advice.
I would say, like, my kids are 24 and 22. And there are things that we did kind of on a regular basis that I didn't realize had the impact on them that they did. But they, I kind of wish I would have done a little more. In their mind, we have so many traditions that we've done. And, I mean, little things. So when you do the little things, don't think they don't matter. Like every year at Christmas, and it just always makes me laugh when I think about this. When the first night after we put up the tree, we would eat pizza in front of the tree and talk about Christmas. And we talk about the Christmas story. And then we'd ask them, what's the one thing you really want for Christmas? And then before we took the tree down, we ate pizza in front of the tree and talked about what was their favorite part about Christmas now that it was over. And one year as they got older, it just wasn't going to work. It was one of those seasons where the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas was shorter. Our youngest was in Boy Scouts. Our oldest was in, you know, had D group. There was one Saturday that it might work, but then one had a D group project. One had a Boy Scout thing. We had a Christmas party, so it just wasn't going to work. And we were putting the tree up, and my oldest son said, well, when are we going to have pizza? I said, you know what? It's just not going to work because you've got this. Your brother's got this. We've got this. Tomorrow we're at church all day, and then the next weekend there's stuff going on. It's just not going to work. What do you mean it's not going to work? We eat pizza in front of the tree the first night we put it up. And I said, well, it's just, honey, this is, we're all home for like an hour this afternoon at 4 o'clock. That's it. What do you mean we're not going to eat pizza in front of the tree? That's what we do. Then probably 10 minutes later, his brother comes in and says, Ivy just told me that you said that we're not eating pizza in front of the tree. We eat pizza in front of the tree the first day we put it up. That's what we do, and we talk about Christmas. We eat pizza in front of the tree. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to the store. I'm getting a frozen pizza this year. We're all going to be home at 4. At 4 o'clock, we're going to sit down. We're going to turn all the lights off, close the blinds, make it as dark as we can. We're going to eat pizza in front of the tree. Okay. I mean, everybody was just calm, but to me, the fact that that meant so much to them, and I never would have thought it. So little things that you do mean the world to your kids, and so don't neglect them. Don't think they don't. They are packing those memories away.
Right. How did you know when you were totally done having kids?
As Jim Gaffigan says, he goes, people ask him, he says, they say, what is it like having four kids? He has four children. He says, imagine you're swimming and drowning and someone hands you a child. It's like, yep, that sounds about right. That's all I have to say.
We know because he got snipped, so that might be TMI, but oh no. I think my body told me my last pregnancy was just harder, and we just felt content. I just felt peace about it, and I think you'll just know, you know.
Yeah, I knew, and it wasn't a godly decision. I didn't ask the Lord. I really didn't. But I knew that my capacity was three. Now, my husband really wanted more, but I knew my capacity was three, and it was confirmed to me when we were having the ultrasound for baby number three. And number one, I had two boys and it was a girl. But it was the lady who was the ultrasound tech said something about how many kids she had. And she just really didn't have time to. And I went, three. Yeah. That's it. But I just knew my capacity. That was it. What's the favorite thing you do when you get a break?
This kind of hits on what Justine was saying about investing in something for yourself. I grew up playing tennis, and just recently one of my friends and I, we joined a T2 league to be, I don't know if you guys ever heard of that, I can't play Alta right now or USTA because of the Thursday schedule. So it's a flexible schedule where we make our own, we schedule our own matches and things like that. And she's one of my closest friends, and we both have boys together that we've raised, but it's just been, that's been so much fun to just kind of have my own little thing, and it's once a night, so Jared gets to put the boys, all the boys down, and I get to go at, like, you know, 5:45 to go out and play a match, and so, yeah, just something where you feel like you can, for me, that's a pampering to me right now, is to be able to go and do that. So anything that you can feel like you're going to treat yourself and have a little bit of a break is really good.
We don't really have anything big right now, but Steven said he wants to help to do that. And I was like, I need to find something to do. But I haven't found anything yet other than just, like, brunch with people. But I normally take her with me, so that doesn't really count.
It's kind of weird or anything, but my husband just said he found this movie pass thing, and you can go, you know, swipe it and watch as many movies you want for $10 a month, new stuff. So I said, oh, my gosh, I think once the baby's asleep, I can leave the house. So I've been watching movies this past week, all the new stuff, at 9-something at night. And last one I was watching most about last night, something Thread. I can't remember the name, how bad it was. But I was like, okay, I'll go see it. But no one was there but me. And I was like, this is like my own theater. This is wonder. It was so good. I was like, I love this free time. I never get to go away without him. So I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. All these hours just for myself. Then when I get home, I do my normal thing and go sleep. And then I'm in trying to, like, almost do it every night. But, you know, sometimes it gets in the way and there's other things. But this getaway time is so awesome. Just for myself.
So this is one that I just discovered because my husband and I have a pact that when I think I'm going to start going crazy, I'm supposed to let him know ahead of time. And so he's gone this week on a business trip. And so before he left, I was like, I have to have some time so I don't explode. And so I love reading, but I don't take a lot of time to do it. And I just went to the coffee shop down the street from my house while the baby, like after I fed the baby, and then I just got out of the house and I went and read. And you guys, it was amazing. It was the most amazing thing. So it was cheap because all I had to do was buy a coffee, and I already had the book. And so I was looking for things because if I get out of the house and I go grocery shopping or I go to the Avalon, I'm going to spend money. And that wasn't my goal. Anyways, it's really simple and easy, and probably all of you already thought of it, but this was new for me, and it was amazing.
It was my thought when you talked about mom advice, but it fits kind of that. I think for me, asking for help is so hard, especially in those first days, because you feel like you are supposed to do everything. You're the mom, especially if your husband works and you're there. And so I think that was so hard for me to ask. And it kind of goes back to what Caitlin said, and I love that. I'm robbing him of something if I don't ask him. But, yeah, just to get out of the house and do anything, I'm like, I feel like a human being again just to get out. But my hard part was, I got to do it all myself. And she has to be asleep for a certain amount of time before I feel like I can leave the house. And that's probably not right. And I'm not serving him or her by doing that. In the end, I'm going to be much more refreshed and a better mom if I actually ask for help and go do those treats. For me, it's anything outside the house. It's exciting. Shopping, Target, whatever. But I'm right. You're right. We're spending money when we're at Target.
I used to like being in the grocery store by myself, and I was like, oh, my gosh, there's music playing in the grocery store. I didn't know that. So I just go real slowly down the aisle.
We need to wrap it up, but I wanted to see, did y'all have anything else? Okay.
I have one more thing.
Yes.
Sorry. This is just, I had a friend that kind of coached me through this. This is just real quick. So I grew up in a family where everything was what I like to call reactive parenting. It was my parents are great parents, but they were very busy starting their own company. And so whenever I did something really well, it was, great job, Caitlin. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And if I did something wrong, it was, you should know better, you know, like very reactive parenting. And again, going back to just having some really great girlfriends to help model this to me, but just to, it's very exhausting and it takes double the amount of time. But from the earliest age on, be a proactive parent in every way that you can, meaning give them, don't expect them to know what they are supposed to do, whether it's going into, we went to Jason's Deli the other night, when we're in the car, everything's a pep talk, like, okay, boys, what are some behaviors that you need to exhibit when you're in a restaurant? What are some things, whether you're going to a play date, how are some ways that you can be helpful with your friends? How can you protect your friends? The more investments, the deposits that you put into them, they want to know. It's all about, what are my boundaries? What can I do? What can I do? And so the more that you, and it's, again, it's getting down on their level. It's not shouting it across the room to them. It's getting down one-on-one, repeating it, taking the time. It will pay dividends back. I just thought that wasn't something I thought of. It's just a lot of people have poured that into me, so I wanted to share that.
One person to follow on Instagram, if you like following people on Instagram, her blog is called The Everyday Simple. It's actually one of my sister's friends. But it's just helpful tips. And, like, she's in the middle of it, too. She has a 2-year-old and a newborn. So her Instagram is by Nicole George. Her name is Nicole George. But and the blog is The Everyday Simple. It's just really sweet. Like, one of them was how to eat more fruit. And it was just the simple idea of wash and cut your strawberries when you buy them and leave them in an open bowl in the fridge. When you open the fridge, you're like, what do I eat? Oh, I'll have a strawberry. Like, if they're not washed, you're not going to eat the strawberries. It's like, that's really simple. But, oh my gosh, I eat so many more strawberries now. Like, things like that. And she just always posts cute stuff, and her kids are adorable. So if you want Instagram people to follow, that's a good one.
I want to real quick end with favorite mom hacks. Okay. So what's our time? Are y'all okay to do this for a few minutes?
Okay.
Because it kills our social time. So, favorite mom hack. You've got one on here.
I was just going to say the pizza roller. That's all I was going to say. That's like the quickest thing. Use a pizza cutter to cut things really quickly. Like, rather than taking a knife and a fork, you get me a chicken pot pie, I can cut that thing in 8 equal parts in like 2 seconds flat. Rather than like you're sitting there going, you know, you have hungry kids. Just get that pizza roller. It cuts everything. That's awesome.
Do you have one, Jennifer?
Nothing clever. I'm trying to think. I know people poo-poo on screen time, but use it strategically when your kids are a little bit older, not when they're a baby. I do it when I'm cooking dinner, and I've kind of prepped everything during that nap time, and then when I need to, like, throw everything together, you get a 20-minute show, and I know some people poo-poo on that, but I do it, and it saves my sanity. It also calms them down because they've been playing, and that's the only time they're really calm, guys, is when they're just sitting there, and then it brings us calmly into dinner. We turn it off. That's what we do, and it keeps us sane.
Anybody out there? Mom hacks?
You know, like, I think it's a dollar, but they have the green, it's a green, you know what I'm talking about? They can hold it, so it doesn't slip inside. It's a bar of soap. But I don't think it's tear-free in the face. But for their body, if you have older ones, that they can hold the soap without. I just feel like it gets better than the body wash for them.
Anybody else want to share?
Of screen time? I have a friend who brought me back to some of the old things. So my son is 17 months old and has little to no screen time. But when he does, he watches, like, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and, like, the Andy Griffith Show, and, like, things that are, like, slow and black and white. And so I think a lot of times, like, the screen time and especially the blue light and stuff, we get kind of caught up in that. But a lot of those older shows don't utilize that, and they're not quite as, like, loud and in your face as some of the cartoons. So, just, yeah. I mean, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is on Amazon Prime, so.
That's great. Yeah, anything that they can do that you don't have to do is huge. And you have to just let go of what you want them to, you know, wear or look like. We only answer half of your question. So we'll do this again. But I'm so glad y'all were here. Next week we have...
I wanted to introduce her. old friend of mine from high school. Her name is Kristen Ivy. She's with the Orange and Rethink group that is, I think it was born out of North Point Community Church. But she goes around the nation and speaks about parenting and the different phases of parenting. And we're lucky because she lives right here in Cumming. She usually charges a lot of money, but she's not charging us anything because I know her. So I just want to encourage you to come, bring some friends, because she's used to speaking to big audiences. And I told her, I was like, we're kind of a small little group. But I think it'll be great. She just published a series of books on parenting, 18 of them, one for each year of life. So there's a book on age one, age two. I'm going to ask her, maybe she'll set up a little book table, I don't know. But research-based stuff, she's a mom of three, so I'm excited about it.
Wonderful. Well, y'all, thank you for coming. Stay well with all the flu that's going around. But let me close this in prayer. Lord, thank you for this sweet time where we can just kind of share together. It takes all of us to be able to help each other. And I pray for this Moms Connect community that we can partner together to just walk alongside each other, to laugh together, to cry together, to share information, Lord. And Lord, just help each other to do what you want us to do, Lord, and to grow closer in our love and our knowledge and our walk with you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.